Hey, what's good? It's your boy Greg Blunt. It is February 21st, 2018. You are listening to episode 48 of the Unnamed Podcast. How are you? How's it going? Hope you're having a great week. Had a lot on my mind, a lot going on. Just got back from Vegas on Sunday for my buddy Kyle's bachelor party. And we had a good time, man. We did. I spent a fuckload of money, but it was good. I didn't have to buy a flight. I ended up getting a ride down with my brother. We just drove down, so saved some money there. Yeah, I mean, Vegas is Vegas. If you've ever been there, it's just gambling, sports, strippers. The money's flowing. My friends played a bunch of golf, actually. They might have played like 3 days in a row. I don't do golf, so I wasn't involved there. We drove down Friday afternoon. I got in about like maybe 5 or 6. And then we hung out for a little bit, like showered, got ready, went to dinner, had like the big dinner. We went to this Italian place and man, they had like no vegan options, which is not like surprising at all, to be honest. But we killed a couple bottles of wine and, you know, got the night started. You know, we gambled for a little bit, played some blackjack, lost like $100. I fucking hate blackjack. and then we ended up going to the strip club and we were trying to figure out which strip club to go to. Last time this group of guys went to Vegas, we went to Sapphire, which was really fucking dope. There's like, I don't know, 15, 20 stages, probably like 100, 150 girls. Like, no joke. Like, it was just swarmed. The place is massive. There was like 3 different bars. But this time we decided to mix it up and go to Girls Collection or Girl Collection or whatever. It's Floyd Mayweather's strip club in Vegas. And outside of like this one strip club I went to in Montreal when I was about 19 that was full of like heroin addict strippers, this was the worst strip club that I've ever been to in my life. And not because it was like too run down. It was just so massively overpriced. You get in. I got there and, you know, it was $50 cover. I mean, it was fucking $50. And I was like, Jesus Christ, bro. Like, and we didn't even have a chance, or I didn't have a chance to kind of turn the crew around and just, you know, wing it because everyone had already gone in. My taxi was the last one to get there. So I was like, all right, you know, let's fucking cough up the 50 and we'll see what happens, right? So I walk in and it's one room. And not very big, mind you. It's probably like 3 times the size of my living room. There's one stage and we all sit down towards the front. And within about 5 minutes, my buddy comes up to me and he's like, all right, so I just talked to the waitress. And the way that they do things is that you have to buy, in order to sit like towards the front, which was really the whole place. Like, it was so small that the people that were in the front were at the front of the table, and the people that were at the back of our table, it was like the back of the club. So it was like, in order to sit at that table, we had to basically buy a bottle or like commit to like 2 or 3 drinks per person. So that's another thing I've never seen in a strip club. So they get your $50 cover, and then they're like, okay, you need to buy a $500 bottle of Grey Goose or 2 or 3 vodka sodas, and you're basically $100 in the hole just from walking in the place. No white girls, no European girls, no Asian girls, just black girls. And I mean, I guess that's to be expected. The whole clientele was black. We were the only white people in there. And I mean, we're just a bunch of fucking, you know, goons that walk in and we plop down, you know, we're having fun, but the girls aren't really like coming over to us at all. They're kind of just sitting around and we got some drinks. The bachelor's brother had also just won like $4,000 at the casino. And so he's just loving life, right? He's walking around. He's got a fucking fat stack of singles and he's like dancing around in between all the different tables. How do I explain this? You know, like the Bernie dance where you kind of like look up at the ceiling and then kind of like drop your shoulders back so that you're towards your shoulder blades, and then kind of like roll your shoulders while you're flinging money. So he's like just kind of like looking up at the ceiling, kind of not looking at anyone in particular, throwing money around. Everyone's looking at him, laughing, and he's just like loving life. He was by far the MVP of the trip. And you need one of those, you know, if you go on bachelor parties, you need like the one kid that's just having the fucking time of his life. And that was the bachelor's brother. The lap dances were $40, which is also like double fucking what the normal is. And yeah, the place just rubbed me the wrong way, dude. Like some of the strippers were coming up and they hadn't even like tried to talk to us or like meet us. And they're just like, can we have drinks? Can we have your drink? And we're like, we just spent $500 on this bottle. And now you're like asking for drinks. I don't know. Am I naive? Am I cheap? I guess I'm probably both. And at the same time, I wouldn't have expected anything less out of a Floyd Mayweather run club because he is just money hungry. And he doesn't give a fuck. So thumbs down to Girl Collection in Las Vegas. I will absolutely go to Sapphire if I ever go back there. I have no desire to go back to Vegas. The only two times I've been to Vegas four times, okay? First time I was 13 years old and I was on like a teen tour thing. It was like, it's basically an alternative to summer camp. And we did like a West Coast tour in a bus, like a tour bus. And one of the stops was Vegas, and we did like, you know, we obviously didn't do anything Vegas-y. We just rode on the, what's it called? The roller coaster that they have there and walked the strip and stuff like that. Then when I was probably in my early 20s, my brother had a fight in Vegas. So I flew down and spent a weekend at the pool while he was like cutting weight and training. So I didn't like do Vegas then either. And then over the last 2 years, I went twice for two bachelor parties. But I really have no desire to ever go back to Vegas unless there's conferences or like a real reason for me to go. It's just a money suck and I'm just over fucking, you know, spending money just to like feel cool or to gamble or to, you know, just to buy things. And it's not appealing. I'd much rather be home doing something productive with my life. Anyway, we finally leave Girl Collection and we head out and we go back to the Bellagio. We were staying at the MGM Grand. We went to the Bellagio and started playing roulette, which is great. I love that game, but it wasn't my night. But at least it was one of those nights where you just play all night and it's worth the money because you're hanging out with your friends and you're having a good time. And even if you lose, you know, it's part of the budget. So stayed up till 5 or 6 a.m. playing. That happens to me when I go on vacation and I'm drinking and I just never want the night to end. So we were up mad late. The next day, I don't wake up until about 1 o'clock, right? Roll around in bed for a little bit. My friends had gotten up to play golf. Fuck that. And I worked for like 2 or 3 hours. And then everyone started getting back at about like 4 or 4:30 and they wanted to take naps. And that was like right when I was getting ready to go. So me and a few of the guys who hadn't played golf went out to search for food. Found like this little hidden place that we weren't even aiming for, but stumbled upon. Probably the best mushroom dumpling. It was probably the best dumpling I've ever had in my life, right? It was this like wild mushroom dumpling thing. And then we met up with the rest of the guys and started, and you know, and had another nice long night of gambling. And before I knew it, it was like 5 a.m. again. And I was with the Bachelor. We were the last two standing. And he was playing craps. And so I've been learning more about craps. It's a fucking pretty cool game. And you can win a lot of money really fast. You can also lose a lot of money really fast. I'm pretty sure everyone on the trip ended up down except for the Bachelor's brother, who probably, he was up like $4,000, probably walked out of there, if I had to guess, with like maybe $1,500, $2,000, which is pretty solid when you make that much money in the first like day and a half, and you still have like a couple days to kill and you're feeling it, you know you're going to play more. So he gave some of it back, but he still made out pretty well. The best part of the trip, probably other than like seeing all the guys and everything, but just like a key part of the trip was that my brother drove down and brought his blender. And so we brought like a bunch of groceries too. And so we were able to make smoothies in the hotel room every morning. So that was really nice to just like, you know, get something in the body that's like somewhat nutritious before indulging on fried foods and alcohol and no sleep. And yeah, before I knew it, it was the last night, and a few of us were sitting around at this restaurant, and they started asking me a little bit about, you know, about how my life's going and what's up with me, like for real. And I started telling them about my app. And I told you guys that I was going to tell you a little bit about the app, and I'm still a little bit unsure about how deep I want to go into it, but I'll give you something to chew on, right? So my perspective of the dating scene is that it's very difficult, right? And I think a lot of us agree with that, especially anyone that's single. And you know that, you know, of course you want to meet somebody at a bar or at the grocery store or at Barnes and Noble or some like romantic way where, you know, it starts raining and he comes and puts an umbrella over you and then you lock eyes, and that's not reality, right? I mean, the reality is that if you want to find someone cool, it's a numbers game. And the best way to play that numbers game is to use the internet and to do this online dating stuff that, you know, had a bad stigma for many years. And then even when Tinder came out in just 2013, by the way, so like 5 years ago, Tinder comes out, and that was weird, right? People didn't, they thought it was weird. That stigma has since gone. So we're now in this like really fertile place in the dating scene where we've established that you can do mobile dating and that it's an option. I just have a problem with the options that are out there. Almost every single one is attacking the wrong issue, and they're all attacking how to find the best match, right? So either you do Tinder or Bumble or Zeus, where it's like this quick swiping and then you match and then you talk, or you do OkCupid or Plenty of Fish, where you have like a much longer profile and you fill out things about yourself and you talk about, you know, you choose your religion and whether you want kids and all this stuff. So it gives a more expansive idea of who you are. Or you look at Hinge and they have removed swiping and it's more about the profile and interacting in a different way throughout the profile. Coffee Meets Bagel like limits the number of people and they have like this tokenized system in there. And then you have like the ones, you know, the random ones like Christian Mingle and Farmers Only and Black People Meet and all these things. And they're all focused on the front end of how can we, you know, match people up better, right? What is the best way for people to find matches and better connections, right? My problem with that is I don't think people are having trouble matching with people they're attracted to, or people that they could end up hanging out with and having a good time with. I think people are getting plenty of matches for the most part. The problem is the post-match experience. Every single one of these apps, you're texting a stranger. Like, let that sink in for a second. Like, have you ever gotten someone's number, whether it's friend or you met someone at a party or, you know, there's a love interest or even a business connection, and you text them out of the blue? Like, you open a text. You don't necessarily, like, you can't be yourself. You have to be formal. You know, sarcasm is not an option because it will be misinterpreted on text. And so in like this dating game, it's like, how can the guy be expected to, you know, put their best foot forward when they can't use any of their personality? I mean, it ends up just being cheesy pickup lines, overly aggressive guys that make the girls uncomfortable, or you just get like really lame shit. Like, hey, how's it going? How was your week? Like, and it just becomes monotonous and frustrating. Right? So not only can the guy not properly express himself, but then the girls are just feeling like, oh, there's so many whack guys on here. And like, I don't really have a good idea of who this guy is. And so the conversations break down or never even really get started. So I have a couple of big ideas that I want to tackle with the app. One of the main things that I'm going to be focused on is voice technology. And so if we have the ability to send voice messages to each other, why are we not using it? Why are we still texting? And You know, video is an option too, but I don't think people are ready to just match and then start, you know, FaceTiming or sending selfie videos to strangers either. I want to start with voice, and I think voice is a huge player in the next 10 years. When we're talking about podcasts, and you're listening to this right now, you're already ahead of the curve, right? But podcasts are going to continue to grow. Alexa and Google Home and Siri and smartification of your house, you know, Alexa, buy toothpaste. Alexa, turn the lights on. These are things that are going to be commonplace in just your daily activity. If you've ever used voice notes in your iMessage, let's say. So if you open up your iMessage, on the right side, you're going to see a little microphone. And if you hold that down, you can actually send, I'm not sure what the limit is. It's definitely like more than 2 minutes. You can send a voice note to the person on the other end. And I'll tell you, like, I've had conversations with people, with girls specifically, with voice notes. And it's just, it's such a different experience than texting. It's so much more personal. And I think it plays well to the younger demographic to be able to test that out and to like hear the other person's voice. And then it also plays well to the older demographic who miss, you know, phone calls. Like, why don't we call each other anymore? Like, and it's just so much more personal. And people don't even realize that, but it is. And I think it's going to be a much better way to communicate. And that's like, there's also other things that we're going to be including to help facilitate these conversations. So it's not just going to be, you know, right now it's just open a text and just, there you go, blank slate, you know, try and win the girl over with your, you know, text pickup line or your, whatever you're going to try and do. That's probably not going to work unless she finds you drop dead gorgeous. I'm still not going to try and put people in a position where it's like, all right, well, now you got voice technology. Well, now open them up with a voice message. Like, there's going to be lead-ons and questions and kind of a gaming aspect to being able to formulate your opener and kind of your conversation starter. So when they match, the girl has to initiate the interaction. And I don't really want to go much further than that, but yeah, I really like the idea. It's coming along. And then there's like another massive idea on top of it where I want to bring like a live element to dating. And bring it back where, you know, you're not just going on an app and swiping for 5 minutes, maybe messaging someone and then leaving. And then, you know, they hit you back and then you got to play the game. So you got to wait like 2 hours before you message. No, I don't want people in and out of the app and using it like that. I want people on the app engaged, like having fun. And so there's some live elements that I want to include that will have people that they can log in at any time. There will be other people engaging in those platforms and having fun. And what I've been most excited to find out is that a lot of the features and technologies that I'm interested in incorporating already exist. And you don't actually need developers to come in and just code shit from scratch. You can go and buy the code for the features that you want and give them to your developers and save them tens and tens, if not hundreds of hours of work, you know, if you spend a few $100s, and that's just so unbelievably worth it. And, you know, there's actually dating apps out there that you can buy. Like, third-party developers will build these generic Tinder replicas where you have basically the same functionality as any other swiping type of dating app with messaging, with premium upgrade, with like the discovery settings, with all these different things already built in, and you can buy it for a few $100. So like, those are things that I'm looking at, and I might be able to get this off the ground sooner than later. You know, hopefully like late summer, I can have something that's actually viable. So, you know, every day things are changing and I'm adding new ideas and removing others, and I'm working on actually creating stuff. We have a bunch of design that's already been done. I'm in talk with developers. I'm starting to come up with a strategic plan in terms of getting investment and when in the process that is. And I'm getting a lot of good feedback from really smart people in my life that they're like, look, man, like, you got a really good idea. And I know I do. So yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. And I can't wait to share more with you guys. as the process moves along. But that's going to do it for this episode. And I'm only two away from 50 here, so I can't wait to hit that milestone that I set out to accomplish. Thank you guys for riding along on this journey with me. I really fucking appreciate you, and I love you so much. I will talk to you next Thursday. Until then, peace out.